The first reading is in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 8, which is on page 492 in the Pew Bibles, and we're reading from verses 1 to 12. Page 492, Nehemiah, chapter 8, from the beginning. The heading is Ezra Reads the Law. This took place after the completion of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem in 445 BC. When the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the scribe, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right hand stood Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah, and on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbanada, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbethai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Valance. I think I chose the right reading to read. I think all those words in there will maybe be beyond my tongue to get round, so thank you for reading that so beautifully. Our second Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, and I'm going to be reading chapter 5, looking at verses 13 and 26. And this can be found on page 1172 of your Pew Bible. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. May God bless to us the readings from his holy word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Speak into our hearts and minds this morning, and may we feel your living presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen. Before I became a Christian, I was invited one Sunday evening to attend a church service in the West End of Glasgow. And at this time, I was really curious at what my Christian friends got up to in church, so I accepted the invite. And I remember this church service really clearly. I remember not fully understanding the Bible reading, and I remember not being able to engage that well in the sermon. But what caught my attention was what I saw and what I felt during the worship. When the congregation sang, I could see the passion and the joy on the faces of the people. I could see that these people were truly worshipping God. And I could also sense something else: an energy, a tangible presence that connected everyone that was in the room. And at the time, I didn't know what this was, but I now know this was God's Holy Spirit. I could quite clearly see that worshipping God was bringing great joy to this congregation in the West End of Glasgow, and I was quite mesmerised. And it was watching followers of Christ worshipping that encouraged me to go back to church the following week. A month later, I came to faith and put my trust in Jesus and experienced what it felt like to have my past wrongdoings forgiven. And like the people mentioned in our passage from Nehemiah, I too was very upset when I realised how far away I was from God who loved me. But as I experienced God's forgiveness through Jesus, I also experienced a feeling of being filled with God's love and God's joy. And this was just amazing. So being filled with the joy of the Lord is what I hope to focus on this morning. In the book of Nehemiah, although God had enabled Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, the work wasn't complete until the people also rebuilt their lives spiritually. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, a revival is in progress. Ezra and some of the scribes read God's word to the people from dawn until noon. The people responded by weeping in repentance as they realized how badly they had failed God. But Nehemiah, Ezra and the other leaders tell the people not to mourn or weep on this day, but to enjoy the feast, adding in verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." As I mentioned earlier, this has always been my favourite verse in the Bible because it reminds me that God is the giver of joy. And I knew before I was a Christian, I was really blown about all the time by my mood. And if I was feeling down, this really affected everything that I did. And my relationships with other people would suffer. I never felt satisfied with life. But what this verse tells us is that joy of the Lord is the joy that God himself possesses. He reveals it to us through his word and through his spirit. In the past, I was only happy if my circumstances allowed it, or if I was in a good mood. But the joy of the Lord is not the joy of circumstances or temperament. So happiness can be said to be a state that one enjoys because of good things that happen to fall our way, and is largely produced by external things. A good job, a house, material things, friends, financial security. The cause of such happiness is outward. But joy is inward. The joy of the Lord is something that only those who know the Lord can enjoy in spite of circumstances. It is the joy of knowing God's forgiveness and covenant love. It is the joy of knowing God's actions throughout history as recorded in the Bible. We can rejoice in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where God's love and justice met and found us. We can rejoice in how he chose us and called him to himself, and in the total acceptance that we have by grace through faith in Christ. Joy in the Lord is not joy of circumstances or having a naturally upbeat personality. It is the joy of simply knowing God. And this is why Nehemiah has, chapter 8, verse 10, has always remained my favourite verse in the whole Bible. No matter what difficulties come my way, no one or no thing can take away that I am a loved child of God, and this gives me joy. The joy of the Lord is the joy of knowing God himself. So King David certainly knew this joy, and the Psalms are full of rejoicing and gladness in the Lord, and quite often in most unexpected moments and circumstances. In Psalm 13, David cries out, "How long, O Lord, you forget me forever? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" And four times he cries out, "How long, how long?" mentioning his ongoing sorrow. But at the end of this short psalm, he affirms his trust in the Lord's loving kindness and then states by faith, "My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." This is not the joy of circumstances, but rather the joy that comes from focusing on and trusting in the Lord and his salvation. The Apostle Paul knew the same thing. He wrote Philippians from prison in Rome. Fellow Christians were bad-mouthing him. The Judaizers were using a false message to seduce many in the churches that he had planted. But Philippians is full of joy and commands to the believer to rejoice in the Lord always. Paul chose to rejoice in the Lord. But I can read Paul and hear how he was able to rejoice in the Lord despite his circumstances. And I can understand why I should be joyful when I meditate on who I am in the eyes of God. But this, in practice, is actually very hard to follow. How can you be joyful when you can no longer rely on your health? How can you be joyful when your work causes you mainly stress and anxiety? How can you be joyful when you're experiencing the loss and heartbreak of losing a loved one? How can you be joyful when you're experiencing the lows of depression? Life can be tough. So how practically can we experience joy when our life circumstances are anything but joy-filled? I often come back to that memory of witnessing followers of Jesus worshipping together that evening at this local West End church. Their joy was tangible and was very attractive to me as a non-believer. But I'm fairly certain of the 300 people in that church that evening, not all were experiencing life without hardship and difficulties. So how were they joyful? I think this just comes back to simply knowing that we are a loved child of God. And no matter what we are experiencing, God never leaves us. I think also we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is given to us as Christians. And having the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the most amazing opportunity to ask God for a daily and fresh filling of this Spirit. We shouldn't beat ourselves up if we aren't able to feel the joy of God as our strength. And of course, there are times when it is right to mourn. But we can partner with the Spirit to cultivate more joy. And the more you partner with the Spirit, and the more God's fruit becomes evident in your own life. I am not a naturally upbeat person, and I'm certainly not like this in the morning, and my husband and boys will tell you that for sure. But I've learned to do things that remind me of God's goodness and all those attributes that he's chosen to share with us, his love, his joy, his faithfulness. I've learned how to keep in step with the Spirit. And I do this by trying to read small amounts of scripture daily from my devotional reading. The people in Nehemiah listened attentively to Ezra as he read God's word, and their lives were changed. When we listen to God's word, we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand how the scriptures apply to our own lives. How is God trying to speak to you? I also regularly listen to worship music as I'm walking and meditate on the lyrics of songs containing scripture that helps to build me up in my faith. Other things I do to try and keep in step with the Spirit is to have some time alone with God, free from distraction and free from technology, sitting and simply listening to what God wants me to hear and to see. And sometimes just stopping still to still the mind, we can sense the presence of God in the silence. All of these things help me to keep in step with the Spirit. And we will all have different ways and unique ways of keeping in step with the Spirit. But we know by nature we all tend to find joy in things other than God. We find joy in our nice homes. We find joy in food. We find joy in our relationships with loved ones. We find joy in our possessions, our cars, our computers, and other gadgets. And it's nothing wrong in enjoying the things that God has provided for us. But all of us could be growing to know God Himself as our chief treasure of joy. But this needs to be nurtured and cultivated. And the more we partner and keep in step with the Spirit, the more God's fruit grows in our lives. And when we can find joy in the simplicity of God Himself, then everything in life is stripped away, and we can rejoice in Him alone. I'm not too sure if any of you are familiar with a more modern worship hymn called Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. People familiar with that one? Well, the lyrics really talk about rejoicing in God always, despite our circumstances. And I just want you to read a few of the lines of this hymn to you. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. In our second passage this morning from Galatians, we hear about the fruits of God's Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness. And when we are filled with God's Spirit, we can more readily demonstrate these amazing attributes of God to others. In our scripture in Nehemiah, the people were told to share the joy with others who are too poor to provide portions of food for themselves. And this is the same for us today. When we experience the joy of knowing God, then His Spirit can come alive in us, and this can be felt by others. I know this to be true because I really came to faith by watching other worshippers worship God. So today, feel uplifted that we can partner with the Spirit to cultivate more joy. Be strengthened by knowing that it is God's joy that fills your hearts. And be encouraged that no matter what situation you are facing, no one or no thing can take this joy away from you. God's love never leaves us. Today, experience the joy of knowing that God's Holy Spirit is living in you, and be blessed in abundance. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that we know you and that you love us. And we pray today for a fresh filling of your Spirit. Help us to nurture and grow in our spiritual awareness of you so that we can feel joy. That joy that can strengthen and uplift us in all times, and which can flow freely from us, bringing joy to others in turn. To the glory of your name. Amen.